Welcome, investigator. Evil is on the rise. Crime is escalating. Our mission is to eliminate the crime by exposing evil, examine why it manifests, and highlight the brave souls that confront it every day. Join us as we work together to bring justice to every victim. Welcome to All Things Crime. Here's your host, Jared Bradley.
If you are just learning who Trevor Houston is, you know, you would, and you look on your profile and you see the businesses you have running and all that, and then you hear this story, it's just like, man, those two just don't match up. It's like, what is the bridge? It's like the super Golden Gate, man, to connect those two worlds, because you would never expect that someone like you with where you're at would be. I mean, it's not like you've made it in life, you know. I mean, I know you still have tons of stuff that you want to do in life, and you should, but still, based on where you are right now, that is such a chasm between those two. And that's, I want to go back to one of the things you said when you were describing, you know, once you finished that fight and you got picked up, you got put in probation or whatever, and then you said you broke your probation. So What was it that didn't get through to you that first time? So when the cops came and they picked you up at school, right?
Yep, picked me up at school. Wow. I was in orchestra class. Okay, I played the stand-up bass. And I got this bass. And here comes the cops. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. You're in.
Isn't that awesome?
You're in orchestra. Okay. Yeah, it's not like you were.
I got arrested in orchestra class.
It's not like you were in gym class, you know, working out, pushing iron or anything. No, you're in orchestra. That's okay. Yeah. What was it that you think didn't resonate deep enough to get you to snap out of, you know, the funk that you were in? You just didn't take it serious, or what was it that you think was lacking that first time that made you break your probation?
Yeah. So life at home, again, with my mom was really rough. We didn't have a lot of money. Matter of fact, we didn't have a lot of anything. So my mom never really had a car that was working. I mean, so that was number one. She wasn't taking me to my probation officer, and that's actually why they came, because I wasn't seeing the probation officer for like 6 months or something like that. And, but yeah, life at home was really, like, there was a lot of times we didn't have running water or lights, you know, electricity. I remember stealing water from the neighbor's hose and putting it in like a 5 gallon bucket, you know, and taking it home and pouring in the toilet just so we could flush the toilet, you know, things like that. We were kind of like, almost like camping inside, if you will. Okay. Propane grill and propane heater in the winter and things like that. I remember, you know, like smoking weed with my mom and like drinking 40s with the homies, like under candlelight. Okay. Like, and then we had this thing happen. We had a black mold at our house. We had a flood, and black mold kind of got in the house. And I remember them gutting the house. And like my mom, God bless her, I don't know what she did with the money. She got insurance money to put this house back together. But let me just tell you, it never got put back together. So, I mean, we were on concrete floors and holes in the walls. And I mean, studs everywhere. I mean, it was just like living in a crack house. I mean, it was like, it was really, really bad. And what's crazy is we're in this suburb. I'm in Allen, Texas, of all places. There's like a lot of money, suburb, like affluent people everywhere. And we're like, got the crack house on the block. Like, it was not good environment. Again, I slept in a bookshelf. Okay. I took I didn't have a bed, because again, all of our stuff got gutted out of the house, got thrown away because it's all contaminated, right? Black mold. And this bookshelf, I like knocked it over, took all the shelves out of it. So it was just a big box. Okay. And I threw a bunch of like old clothes and towels and crap in there, just anything that was soft. And then threw a futon mattress on top of it. And then, you know, I had to make it look good. So I put some Christmas lights around that joker. Okay. I had the best looking bookshelf in the house. You know?
You're going to start a new bed trend there.
Yeah, man. It was awesome. But like, I think back again, my environment was just, it just was not conducive for anything positive, right? There was nothing positive coming out of that house. Okay. And so, and again, my mom wasn't taking me to see my probation officer. So of course they came and picked me up. It was like 2 days before Christmas. They come pick me up. And I remember the night before, because we're like off for Christmas break, right? Mm-hmm. From school. And like, we were getting messed up, man. Just getting high and drunk and all this kind of stuff. I'm hungover.
And you're 16 at this point.
I'm like 16 years old. Oh. I mean, we were getting wrecked the night before. And matter of fact, this is the crazy part. At this time, we had some like gothic kind of heavy metal type people that were living with us. They made this mace. Okay. It's a stick with like nails all hanging out of it. And this is the kind of craziness we were doing, man. Back then it was like, who can take the most hits? Who can take the most pain? You take the most, and that means you're a man. If you can take the most, so stupid. I'm thinking about it now. And we would trade licks on our knee. And like, this thing had nails in it, man. It's like sticking each other. Anyway, that was the night before, getting high and drunk and hitting each other with a stupid mace, like idiots, right? I wake up that next morning and I hear again, the police at the door and I'm hungover. I'm like, oh, my leg's like dead and it's covered in blood. And like, I wake up and I'm just like out of it. And they tell me to put my clothes on. I'm, taking me back to jail. And I remember like I put my pants on. And inside of my pants, I had a joint in there. Okay. But they didn't search me because they watched me get dressed. Right. So then it dawned on me when I'm in the cop car and we're driving to the station. I'm like, oh my God, I got weed on me. Like, and we're going to the station. Like, that's not good. Right. That could be a whole nother charge. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I go into like panic mode. My hands are behind my back like this. And so I reach around. Luckily, I got long arms. So I reach around and I pull it out of the pocket and I shoved it down in the cop's seat. I shove it down in the seat. But man, I mean, this is the environment I was in. So to answer your question, I'm grateful again, though. I'm grateful. I'm so, 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 so grateful because like I needed that slip up. I needed that. I needed to go back to jail. I did. And I'm so grateful that the judge, found some leniency on me to give me at least another opportunity. I think he probably saw me and was like, man, if he knew what was going on, he probably, was like, okay, we need to figure something out with this kid.
I mean, I'm sure they knew a lot more than what you think they did.
But, mm-hmm. I bet. Yeah.
I mean, most of the cops that I know, they, in circumstances like that, they have a whole folder and they know what's going on. But
well, I remember I got picked up at the house by, was it Child Protective Services, CPS? Mm-hmm. And because we had some, There was some other stuff going on at the house too. There was a gay couple living at the house, and grown man in his 40s. And this is the part that blows my mind. There was a kid he was like 16 years old. I don't know if they met on like a chat room or something, but they were like living. And I think back and I'm like thinking with my mom, I'm like, mom, you let this guy molest this kid at the house. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God. anyways, I remember getting picked up by Child Protective Services. They're asking, you know, had he ever touched you? Da 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 da, blah 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 blah, all this kind of stuff. And I remember just being like, I didn't want to talk to him. I'm like, hell, get away from me. Like, again, I had a problem with authority. Yeah. I was like, they were trying to pick me up, Child Protective Services. I'm like, I'm not going with you. You
know? Not a child.
All that crazy. Yeah, I'm like, screw you, you know. And but I ended up going with them. I had to.
Yeah.
And they interrogated me essentially to try to figure out what was going on. So, yeah, I bet there was a lot more that they knew. They knew the environment. Again, it was messed up. So,
well, again, yeah, I appreciate you sharing all that, man. I know, you know, even probably thinking about it, it's probably difficult at times, but, you know, again, our background makes it that's kind of who we are. And that, mm-hmm. that gives you, you know, fast forward now to when you started actually, you know, climbing out of that hole that you had dug all those years as a teenager. And, you know, part of it is the deeper the hole, I think the harder you have to fight to actually get out of it. And that, that creates, you know, it's like the refiner's fire, you know, that's what makes a sword a sword. And I think it contributed to, well, I know it contributed in a massive way to who you are now. And so let's talk about how it, you know, once you got turned around a little bit, you moved to your dad's house. What happened there that really started changing things?
So, you know, at my dad's house, okay, my dad wasn't wealthy or anything like that. I mean, he wasn't like, you know, but compared to where I was at, it definitely was. Like, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, my dad had food, lights, water, you know, like
stuff that we would consider basic necessities. I mean, it was just
absolutely urbana. Two bedroom house, but it was like, it was nice. It was clean. It was like decorated. It like, you know what I mean? He took care of his stuff. It was like, and so like, okay, I'm in a different environment. I'm in a clean environment. Okay. I got a bed. You know what I mean? Like I'm out of the bookshelf. I like have a mattress, you know, like, okay, cool. Running water, lights. Good. Check, check, check. Okay. All the basics, clothes, you know, my dad took me like to Old Navy. Okay. Like I was wearing FUBU, Thug Life, thought I was like Eminem. Okay. All of a sudden now I'm wearing like preppy clothes, like wearing like Old Navy, but they're brand new clothes. And I was like, cool. Like I wasn't wearing these hand-me-down, you know, things. So I'm like, got brand new clothes. I remember going to the store and getting to shop for myself. Like, wow, he gave me like get some new clothes. Cool. And then I got to work with him. And my dad was a business owner. He owned a painting business and he would paint houses and he did like some really, really cool work. Okay. Like he didn't just paint, you know, houses, you know, whatever color. Like he would do texture and marbleizing and faux finishes and all that stuff when that was hot. There was a time when like that stuff, faux finishes and all of that was hot. And, you know, so he would be working in these like millionaire houses, you know, big, big mansions. And, I remember it was the first time like getting up early, the rise and grind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get to learn how to wake up and I'd watch my dad. He's drinking coffee, watching the news, you know. He'd get me up, put on my paint suit, get on the job site. And I remember just working hard and like taking something that was ugly and transforming. And like you put in that hard day's work and like that sense of pride at the end of the day, you know, working with your hands and like creating something. It was like, wow. And like gave me an opportunity to save, you know? Mm-hmm. And my dad would always do some really cool things. He would like give me little incentives. So like when I needed to buy a car, you know, I'm 16 at this time and I need to buy a car. And so, well, first of all, it helped me saving helped me get off of probation because I had all this restitution, all these fees and all this stuff I had to pay. Right. I mean, I was in a hole and like a financial hole at 16 and I had to pay all that off. Okay. Finally get off probation. So I'm off paper now. I'm like, yes, cool. And I remember my dad would do some incentives, like, again, to buy a car. It was, I'll match you dollar for dollar. Okay. Because he wanted to incentivize me to save and not just blow money. Right. So he gave me the opportunity to earn number one and then incentivize me to save number two. Kind of like getting a match on your 401k. Like, heck yeah, I'm going to match that. I'm going to max that out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to max it out. He would give me that incentive. And so I bought a car. And he knew I was good at saving. So then he, when I turned 18, he co-signed for me on a car. And that was huge because that helped me build my credit. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, he helped me more than I can tell you. I mean, my dad really, I owe my life, you know, and I always tell people it was my heavenly father sending me to see my earthly father, you know. And so I really owe so much to him, but I still had some looseness. Look, it wasn't like an overnight shift for me. I remember debates with my father, literally sitting down at the kitchen table having debates about smoking weed. I'm like, man, weed's not bad. Alcohol's so bad compared to weed. Man, come on, man. You know, like having debates with my dad about it. And,
oh, geez.
Like, no. This is not happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that brings up what was that first night? So you just are moving over to your dad's house from your mom's house. You're going from that, you know, crack house environment, living in a bookshelf. That's the greatest story in the world I've ever heard, man. By the way, the bookshelf bed, that's classic. But you're moving from that environment over to your dad's house. You know, sounds like a pretty small house, but it's clean, like you said, running water.
Mm-hmm.
That first night, I'm sure there was some kind of a come to Jesus meeting that you guys had of saying, okay, I'm bringing you in, son, but this is what's going to happen. And this is what is not going to happen. What was that like?
You know, honestly, I wish I could remember. I really wish I could remember that night. That would have been a good memory to have. Honestly, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if we sat down and like went over the do's and the don'ts and like,
well, maybe it was too much. Maybe it was just too much for that night, but I'm sure, you know, maybe that particular night he probably just brought you in and said, hey son, let's just go to bed and, you know, figure this out in the morning. But
yeah, I do remember there were some things like, you know, I remember I had a little like a curfew as far as like, you know, and I remember I couldn't go to my mom's for a while. There was a long time I couldn't go back, couldn't even go visit. I couldn't see the friends that I had.
That was based on the order of your dad.
I think that was based, yeah, that's a good question. I think that was based on my dad, if I'm remembering correctly. I can't remember if that was a court thing or not. But I just remember couldn't do that. Had to, and we tried. Oh man, let me tell you something. Because me and my friends, we were like, I mean, these are like my brothers. I mean, I still have some connection with a couple of them that have changed their lives, actually, which is another miracle that a couple of them ended up changing their life. Not all of them did, but
yeah.
But yeah, I remember it was like this resistance because those were like my brothers. And like, wait, if you remember when you were a teenager, your friends at that time were like, you're just so close, man. Like, just so close. And it was like, we tried to figure out how to see each other. Yeah. And, but yeah, I remember that was a thing. I had to get into church. And, but that was like almost like a forced church situation. Again, I was like, I had to go, you know, which was good. I'm not, you know, it was good actually, but it wasn't until later on in life that I kind of accepted Jesus like on my own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I made the decision later in life.
I think that's pretty much the case for everybody. I mean, it's
sure
when you're a kid, even just being a teenager, I'm not sure there's some, I think it's pretty rare that kids have the the mental and the spiritual maturity to really understand it. But being in that environment, you know, I think even getting them there, and maybe they'll pick up something, you know, that's kind of our attitude with our kids. It's
100%. Yeah,
but it's
put them in the right environment, yeah. You know, like, again, put them in the right environment. Like, your environment means so much. The people you hang around with, you know, that's why I like the show, the Who You Know show. It's not like, listen, the people you spend your time with, you know, it's they say you're the average of the top five people you associate with or something like that.
But, yeah.
And it's so true. It's so true. So, you know, yeah. So I got that second chance with my dad. My dad's working on me. Okay. He's working on me, trying to turn this thing around. And there was still some looseness. And I remember I got a job in sales at Harley Davidson. And that was really cool. And actually, hold on. Let me rewind real quick. So I got in sales, and I was working at Sears before that, and I was saving money. Okay. And like, I was in a scarcity mindset still. Okay. Cause again, I came from poverty. Like, we didn't have money. So I'm stacking it up. Okay. And, I think by the time I was like 20 years old, I had like 20 grand saved up. And, I remember my stepmom looked over me, cause she knew I'd been saving and stuff. She looked over me and she's like, Trevor, how much money you got? And I was like, I don't know, like 20 grand or something. And I thought I was broke. At 20 years old with 20 grand, I'm like, that's broke. And she looked at me and she's like, you got like 20 grand? Oh, no. Like, basically, hey, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to launch, right? Like, I was 20 years old. It's like, it's time. And so my dad came and he's like, hey, you know, we're going to start charging you rent. Okay. But what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to charge you rent, but we're going to take that and we're going to put it into an account. And when you leave, you can use that money for, you know, furniture or whatever you need. Right. So, but we're going to start charging you rent. Oh, crap. So that, you know, forced me to go out there and like start looking at apartments. So, I mean, I did not pay him 1 month rent because I was out. I was like, if I'm gonna pay you, I might as well.
Yeah, might as well
get an apartment.
A little more freedom there. Thanks for joining us. Your attention today brings us one step closer to exposing and eliminating the evil that brings crime to our communities. Hit subscribe and share this episode. Together, we will bring justice to every victim.